Now, it's fairly common experience to make a big decision in life, whether or not you're buying a house, deciding who to marry, or deciding when to have children, or working out what career you're going to follow, maybe even where you might like to retire to. At some point, asking the bottom line question, what is it going to cost me? What am I willing to give up to live in that area I want to live in, or to have children, or pursue the course or career I really want? What is it going to cost me? What am I willing to give up to obtain that thing that I desire? Well, in Matthew's gospel, after introducing us to the person of Jesus, the prophecies about him, his teaching and healing miracles, we now encounter Jesus as he meets two people. They want to follow Jesus, but underlying the two interactions is the question, what is following Jesus going to cost me? And what am I willing to give up to be his disciple? By now, as we move through the gospel story, we're feeling like, Jesus, is this man for real? Can he really heal someone with leprosy? Can he really heal a paralyzed person and a person with a fever just like that? Not even touch them. He can just say the word, and a person not even next to him can be healed. Is this man for real? But he must be, if so many people have witnessed it. And he must be, if it wasn't a once-off, but an intentional and repetitive miracles. So I can imagine myself in the place of these two men who come up to Jesus, who have seen firsthand, maybe, the miracles that he has done. And whatever Jesus has, I want. I want that. I want to know his secret. I want to know the source of his wisdom, his power, and I want to know about his identity. Actually, I want to sign up. I want to sign up to be like Jesus and become a learner, a disciple. What I want to do this morning is to examine the two interactions between the teacher of the law and the other disciple, alongside the two miracle stories that came after. Gospel writers often pair stories together to help draw out a richer interpretation. And so I've picked up on this under two headings. Following Jesus takes perseverance. And following Jesus needs to be prioritized. So, just helpful to remember, perseverance and priority. Well, following Jesus takes perseverance. So if you have a Bible, look with me now to Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to look from verse 18. So Matthew 8, verse 18. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave the orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go." The teacher of the law is keen, but Jesus knows this person's heart. Instead of saying, "Great, good to have you on board, I'll have the other disciples process your request," Jesus replies, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Which, of course, is classic Jesus. Whenever Jesus teaches with a cryptic saying, parable, or story, it's often his way of saying, think deeper. Jesus is warning those who want to follow him and maybe wanting to join in the next big thing that to follow Jesus is to follow a master who is only passing through this world. Foxes and birds, even though they're creatures, have a place to call home. Whereas Jesus, the Son of Man, has no place to rest while on earth. To follow Jesus is to live a nomadic existence now, while working towards that time when we enjoy eternal life and an eternal home. The phrase, no place to lay his head, connects us with the following story, where Jesus, asleep in the boat, is rudely cut short. Jesus is so tired, he's sleeping through a storm. Some people can sleep through noise and all sorts of things. I myself am a light sleeper, and I just can't understand how anyone might not wake up. But I know there are some, when they're tired, that's how it is. This next slide is a famous painting by the master Rembrandt, painter. I love it because it captures something of the ferocity of the waves and the different reaction and responses of the disciples. So waves are starting to pound the boat, and it's at this point the disciples decide to wake Jesus up. You know they're desperate when experienced fishermen wake up a carpenter for help. They shout out, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." I imagine they're wanting Jesus to help in some way, maybe to bail water or balance the boat. I don't believe they're asking for anything miraculous, as their response when Jesus did calm the storm was one of utter amazement. Jesus rebukes the waves and they obey him. He also rebukes the disciples for their small faith. They were terrified, but they needn't have been. If they knew that Jesus had a mission to achieve, even in the midst of the storm, then there was no way God was going to let Jesus drown. Within this story, Jesus' divinity is further revealed. Even if he allows himself to have no place to lay his head, Jesus, with the word, can control only what God can control. The Creator cannot drown. And in a bigger sense, will not let those who take refuge or journey with him perish either. And so this story in part illustrates what Jesus is saying to the teacher of the law. Matthew, through his arrangement of the stories, is saying that if anyone decides to follow Jesus, don't expect any permanency, a place to lay your head. Don't expect a cruise. A cruise is a trip on a big ship with lots of onboard entertainment, comforts, of course, partying. But to follow Jesus, it will be more like this. Life as a disciple can involve times of trial and testing of faith. And it's through these times that you will grow in your knowledge of who Jesus is and your faith in him. We might theoretically know that Jesus is Lord of all, but it's only by actively walking in step with God we'll experience Jesus as Lord. And it will sometimes not be a pleasant cruise in fair weather. So that's a big first point. For anyone who decides to follow Jesus, don't expect a cruise or fair weather sailing. Jesus said that he has no place to lay his head, so his disciples also. But the upside is that Jesus can ultimately protect his disciples. As Jesus is Lord of all, even creation itself, and so while perseverance is needed, we can rely on God to save us. And the good news, even if we have small faith. The second big point flows out of the second person's interaction with Jesus. The decision to follow Jesus cannot be put off. Jesus needs to be prioritized above all. We're told another disciple rocked up to Jesus, but this disciple is having second thoughts. "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Well, what does this mean? For a start, if the man was in the middle of a burial, then he would not be talking to Jesus. So it's likely that this man's father was still alive, in which case he was referring to the obligation to care for his aging father. Well, that may be a long time away. And while an important family obligation, it looks like the man just wants to put following Jesus on hold until the cost for him is not as high. Jesus replies to the man, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Seems like a harsh thing to say, but Jesus is implying that there may never be another chance to follow, and now is the time. Following Jesus is a decision that needs to be prioritized and cannot be put off. The window of opportunity to follow Jesus is now. One time when Kate and I were travelling through a town in Arnhem Land, we dropped by someone's house. Upon learning that we were headed to Darwin, which was about 6 hours' drive away, one of the family members asked whether they could have a ride in. Well, we said, yeah, that would be fine. We then expected that they'd go back into the house and pack and get ready. But instead, the person on the spot handed the child that they were carrying to a relative and jumped in the car. Look, I'm so used to packing and preparing for a trip that would be days until I return. I was completely surprised. The person was taking the opportunity for a lift, and the opportunity was now or never to get to Darwin. This is how it should be with us and following Jesus. It can't wait. God is ready for us to transform us now and to change us. We sometimes think that we can put God off until later, but we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We think that we'll last forever, but we know that life is so fragile. The disciple wanted to delay his full commitment to Jesus, but Jesus says, do not delay. Let's look briefly at the last story. Jesus arrives on the other side of the lake in a Gentile region. Two demon-possessed men block their path. They'd come from the tombs to meet him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. The two demon-possessed men shout at Jesus, "What do you want with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" This indicates that they know who Jesus is. Verse 30, some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons beg Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." There's no question in the demons' mind that Jesus had the power to drive them out. It was only a matter of when. Jesus said to them, "Go." So they came out, went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down to the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Now, the remarkable thing about what Jesus did was just say one word. No incantations or long prayers. But one word of power and the demons came out of the two men. This demonstrates that not only does Jesus have power over creation, the wind and the waves, but also has command over the spiritual realm. Amazing. This is a person I want to follow. So Jesus performs an amazing miracle. He dealt with the problem of the town folk. No one had been able to travel that way, and now they can. He released two men from their bondage to the demons. And so did the town welcome Jesus and decide to find out more. Verse 33, those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. When I read this account, I cannot believe the response. The town did not welcome him, but responded in fear. They had the opportunity to hear and believe, to follow the Son of God, to prioritize him, but instead they reached out, reacted in fear, and lost the opportunity. We're not told, but it looks like the cost of losing so many pigs was too great, And the unknown of who Jesus was also too great that they prioritized their current comfort over the opportunity to talk with Jesus. My point is this. Like the disciple who decides to put off following Jesus until later, we have the town's response who decided out of fear to put off following Jesus. They waved Jesus away because the cost of welcoming him was too great. They witnessed a demonstration of Jesus' power, but fear of what they might lose controlled their willingness to prioritize Jesus in their life. But Jesus warns those who come to him that following him cannot be postponed. He needs to be prioritized. Our discipleship with Jesus can't be put to the side or given the slow treatment. We can't wait for a perfect time, a time when following Jesus won't be inconvenient, a time when maybe our family will approve, a time when perhaps I've paid off the house or when I've raised my kids or when God has met my bargain. To follow Jesus means giving him full priority in our life. And so here is the question for you this morning. Does your life revolve around Jesus and his priorities for your life? Or does Jesus revolve around your life and your own timing? I wonder if there may be some here who are holding back from following Jesus fully, or have been waiting for the right time to really start following Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning to say that Jesus is here, he is now, he is here now and ready. So we must leave our excuses and fears at the door and jump in. Let me conclude by saying that Matthew has arranged these stories of Jesus to communicate the power and message of Jesus. Clearly, Jesus has power over creation and the spiritual realm. Just one word and creation obeys. But his very words also call us to respond and obey. To the teacher of the law, he warns that following Jesus will not be a cruise. It will take perseverance. To the other disciple, he warns that to follow Jesus means giving him priority in our life that cannot be put off. You can try to pay the minimum cost to follow Jesus, but in the end, if you don't have Christ as the first, then you will fall to the other priorities in life. Whether that be career, education, financial security, and so on. Jesus is worthy of our worship and worth following. And while if you follow Jesus, then it will cost all of you, the upside is that Jesus will not let you down. There is no power on heaven and earth that will get in the way between you and him. Jesus wants all of you. Let me pray.